You want big money? Then give me the goods.
You want me to name names? You're gonna get them. Shedload.
What if he comes back for it?
Well, I've got enough on him to make him shit himself.
Did you care about your daughter, Mr. Delaney? If her personal life was such a disappointment to you.
I'm sorry, you didn't make Commander. What kept coming up was that botched investigation into that Fitzpatrick character.
Better not lose this, Travis's accelerated promotion form. Deputy Commissioner Waters is overseeing the panel.
There's something about those brothers.
They've both got alibis.
Lester, I don't know where you are, mate, but you're going to have to get in touch with us.
I know all about you and your brother. Please stop!
Felicity's drowned body is laid on a deck.
I'm sorry I suspected you.
Langton to Travis.
Especially you.
Helen listens to Amanda talking with a guy.
Can you get me some of that other gear? I've got night shoes for a week.
So we have a driver and a dealer, neither of whom can be identified.
Do you think it might be the same person?
The screen fades to black. Day.
Noah, the dating club arranges it all. The dates sit at your table and you get a 5-minute conversation with each of them. Then at the end of the evening you get to choose one or none, you know, for a date.
What can you tell about a person in 5 minutes?
Oh, a lot. Clock the shoes, how they dress, fingernails, clean a bit, home teeth. Get your questions ready at the same time as doing a good once-over.
What questions?
A bit nervous, Paul. Never seen a dead body.
You'll be fine, Barbara. Just keep talking. What questions?
Do they have a job? What is it? Have they been married, divorced, widowed?
Do the blokes get in for free?
They've got to be a member as well. It works both ways.
Just wait a second.
You'll be fine, Barbara. Just take a deep breath. Come on.
They approach a gangplank. Above suspicion, silent scream.
Right, shall we take a look then, Barbara?
DS Paul Baroli pulls back a tarpaulin to reveal Felicity's bedraggled body. DC Barbara Maddox claps a hand to her mouth.
Yeah, that's her. That's Felicity Turner.
Heaving, Barbara turns away, her hand to her mouth. Written by Linda LaPlante. Adapted from her novel, Silent Scream. The Delaneys get out of a black cab outside the police station. In the incident room...
It was Felicity Turner who was fished out of the river. Paul's just phoned.
Mr. and Mrs. Delaney are in reception. They're asking for you, Anna.
Really? OK, can you show them into the interview room, please?
Joan, do we have anyone searching the basement flat?
Mike's there now.
Right, well, can you get him to bring in Jeannie Bale right away?
Yeah.
Thanks. Nice. Yeah. Apparently, Barbara of the Many Met Courses threw up.
Travis smiles.
I feel that I should apologise to you. My behaviour has been unacceptable. My excuse is that both my wife and I have found it hard to deal with Amanda's death.
Just tell her. Tell her I want to go home.
Why don't you just tell us? Because so far you've been less than helpful with this investigation.
I did it to protect my wife. And the girl was threatening to sell it. She wanted £5,000.
Which girl?
Jeannie Bale. She had Amanda's diary. She wanted money. She approached me at the funeral and threatened to take it to the newspapers.
Do you have Amanda's diary? It may contain very important information about the killer.
I don't have it. And I don't have the £5,000 I paid for it.
In the incident room...
Travis, can you put out an all ports call to have Jeannie Bale brought in here right away? If we've got a killer that's knocking off the kids from the flat, she'll be next. Barbara,
yeah.
Contact Josh Lyons at the publishing company, see if anyone's approached him trying to sell off Amanda's diary.
Okay. Gov, we've got Andrew Lesser's finance details and bank statements. There were big payouts from her personal account to a company in Cyprus. Completely coincide with the victim's purchase of the Muse.
All right, print them out.
Okay.
Oh, fill me in.
A photo of Felicity.
There's lots of foam in and around the mouth. Looks like she drowned. There's fluid in the lungs and there. Testing for drugs and booze.
What's this?
A large welt of a bruise on her lower back. Witness report, a bloke walking his dog saw the victim's shoes with a blonde girl hanging about the boatyard, so she could have fallen over the railings.
Could have been pushed.
They don't know which. She was wearing a jacket with Amanda Delaney's name inside, and there was a programme from the funeral in her pocket, which is why the local cops brought it to us. Can I just... straighten something out, Gov. I know you've been talking to Mike about this, and I just wanted to be clear that, you know, the Fitzpatrick situation, I didn't discuss it with anyone.
Thanks, Paul.
Travis has spotted them talking.
Paul?
Did they find any money on her?
No shoulder bag either.
So chances are she's walking around with £5,000 in the diary. She could be anywhere.
No, she's not. A store detective ran her name. Didn't you just put the call out for her?
Yeah.
He's holding her.
What?
Ginny Bale has just been picked up for shoplifting in Topshop on Putney High Street.
Right, let's go.
I was going to pay for it, and then this cow frog-marched me into the back room and she did a strip search on me.
This isn't about shoplifting.
Give me a bag, Ginny. Give it to me. Oh, shit. Is it about Mr. Delaney? Same minute. It's about this.
Get in the car.
Don't push me.
Get in the car.
Get off me. No, I will not put my seatbelt on. I'm going to make a complaint.
Yeah, she can do that.
Amanda's diary was in Jeannie's bag, in the car.
Look, I admit what I did to Mr. Delaney was a bit of a con, all right? You don't know about him, do you?
No.
Well, let me tell you, he's a bit of a stuck-up little prick.
Oh, excuse me, language. And that wife of his, Amanda's so-called mother, she's out to lunch. She let her father, the grandfather, rape her daughter when she was 11 years old. And do you know what she said to her? She said, he did it to me. You just get over it. Fucking grandfather.
Just be quiet. You don't seem to understand the seriousness of your situation.
No, they are not going to press charges because they know I will tell everyone what happened to Amanda. And you know why they won't do anything, huh? Granddaddy was filthy rich and Mr. Prune-faced Delaney never worked. They live in his villa, they've got his money, what are they going to care about £5,000?
Your flatmate, Felicity Turner, was found dead this morning. So until you get representation, I'd shut up if I were you.
Well, Felicity? No. Oh, my God. No.
DCI Mike Lewis enters the incident room.
We didn't find anything at the flat.
We got the diary. Jeannie had it.
I know. She's refusing legal representation. I think she reckons she has to pay for it.
Oh.
You know Langton wants you in on the interview.
Yeah.
So is everything all right between you two?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Because I should be in there with him. Maybe he thinks it was me that grassed him up.
No, Mike, we picked her up together. I'm sure he doesn't think that.
Well, it couldn't have been Barbara. She wasn't on the inquiry.
Travis walks off. Mike looks pensive.
Has he talked to you, Joan?
What about?
Gov thinks one of us talked to the Deputy Commissioner about the Fitzpatrick case. It's the reason he didn't get his promotion. He is gunning for whoever stitched him up.
Her expression freezes, then she looks flustered.
I'd better get these down to property locker.
Mike watches as she gathers up evidence bags and hurries off. Langton and Travis interview Jeannie.
Right. Let's start with the diary. Never mind trying to sell it to Mr. Delaney. Where did you get it from?
Felicity found it at the flat.
How long have you had it for?
A couple of weeks. Okay, so cool. So what happened was, Amanda was really upset about her agent. She told Dan that she knew Scott Myers had been paid for his part in the mansion, but she hadn't. So, it was very funny. What Dan did was call Andrea Lesser, didn't he?
Well, can you please tell Miss Lesser that it's rather urgent? No, I don't want to do that. This is a personal matter between Miss Lesser and her client, Amanda Delaney. And she kept asking who I was. No, don't.
Dan, it's my phone, so no, it's me.
Ah, Miss Lesser! I am a close associate of Miss Amanda Delaney's, and I've noticed some irregularities in her recent accounts. A rather large sum of money that was due has not... Hello? Hello? You fat-ass bitch! She fucking hung up on me!
I told you.
Dan thought it was a lot of money, because he would sometimes do the accounts for her. She called a couple of other actors, I think. Lesser was nicking money, and I'm talking thousands. You see, Amanda was dyslexic.
Do you know who her dealer was?
Oh, I've got no idea. She'd just turn up with her ecstasy and her grass and a crack and a coke, but I never touched that gear. Dan and Felicity, no, couldn't leave it alone.
What about her drivers? I didn't meet them. She's a film star, right? She's got chauffeurs, I haven't even got a car.
Jeannie scowls and considers.
You know about me, do you? Yeah, rock baby. Yeah, my agent thought that I had that in the bag. They loved me. I'd done 8 auditions. Amanda was just kipping at ours because she didn't have a flat. I mean, she didn't even have an agent. And then suddenly I'm told, oh, the film's been cast. Everything she had, it could have been mine. I was this close. Have you got any idea what that feels like?
In the police station toilets.
He's questioning every one of us. I mean, I never would have said anything to anybody that could have it in for the boss, but I did tell you. And if you repeated that...
Repeated what, for heaven's sake?
Well, that Travis overlooked some evidence and Fitzpatrick walked into the station as an FBI agent. I told you that, Barbara.
I'm off the hook. Wasn't even on the investigation.
But I told you about it. Did you repeat it to anyone?
I don't remember. I was doing all those extra courses.
Barbara finishes putting on makeup and leaves. DC Joan Falklands looks worried. In the interview room...
Oh, well, it was never my idea. No, I said that if he'd give us the money, I'd hand over the diary. But I didn't let him have it, though. Whoops. Anyway, Felicity was really out of it at the funeral. And when she was stroppy, she was quite hard to handle. So I suggested that we walk it off. And we went along the river, but she was really starting to irritate me.
Enough to push her over the railings?
No, I left her there. I got the tube and I went home. I expected her back, but when she's high, she often stays out nights.
So she just let you walk off with all that money?
Would you give a junkie £5,000? We agreed to split the money between us. £2,500 each.
You can go.
I can go?
On police bail.
Can you book a taxi for me? And if I'm not being charged, can I get £5,000?
Show her up.
Travis stands and points a file at Jeannie.
Sit down.
Jeannie sneers and obeys petulantly. Travis goes to Langton, who's staring out of his office window. It's still light.
That was a bit of a fast turnaround.
Well, the Delaneys don't want to press charges. And we don't have any witnesses. It's all pushed into the river. And she was drunk. And she was in heroin. And... I've told Joan I want copies of the diary made for everyone first thing in the morning.
The tech support only just sent up the master copy. It's going to take her ages.
That's why she's working late.
I'm going to wait.
Go home, Anna.
No, I want to take some of it back.
Good night.
He slugs whiskey from a glass and walks out past her. Joan's fumbling with the photocopier. Papers fall off the top.
Oh, for God's sake, Joan, what's going on? What is it? Do you need some help?
No, I can manage. It's not about this. It's about your promotion. I'm so sorry, I'm...
It's all right. Don't put yourself into a state. Come on. Come on, let's go to my office.
Travis, who's been gathering up her belongings and files, has overheard. She picks up a pile of printouts before leaving. Day. Langton paces pensively in a stark, modern interview room, which is in grey and white. Paul opens the door and shows Andrea and her female solicitor in.
Please.
Langton motions to seats at a table.
We have accessed your personal accounts.
You had no right to do
it. We have every right. This is a murder inquiry, and they show large sums of money paid in and taken out over a period of months shortly before Mr. Laney was murdered. Did Amanda know that you were defrauding her?
Andrea glances at her solicitor, then stares down at the table.
I had intended to tell Amanda, but then...
But then she was murdered. So you've given us a motive. What happened? Were you such a desperate situation that you had no option but to get rid of her? Did you hire someone to kill Amanda?
That is not true!
She fixes Langton with wide, angry blue eyes, then glances at Paul.
I know it was foolish, but I honestly believed I could repay Amanda. I had nurtured and cared for her. It had taken so much.
She fights tears.
I had problems getting her past medical tests, and her behaviour was getting out of control. It was like she was determined to destroy all the hard work I put into forging her career.
Amanda purses her lips.
But I never would have done anything to harm her.
Langton stares at her impassively.
She was too capable of doing that to herself.
Okay, this is interesting. Listen up, it could just be her writing, but she refers to a driver, Lionel Lenny, not sure. Pick up for a premiere, and she refers to L being early on another page.
I've got a mobile number here for a Lester. Been picking his name up a few times, and it says he had collected me, being Amanda, from hospital and drove me to the clinic. That, if I'm right, is the abortion date. But she didn't even know who the father was.
Answer phone Lester James, not available.
Got him. Lester John James, age 29, 5'11", blonde hair. Two previous arrests for assault and one for drug dealing.
Mike, Joan and Barbara look at Lester's details on Mike's computer and look triumphant. Mike knocks on Langton's door, then paces in the corridor.
We've got a new suspect, Lester James. He's a driver. Here's the surprise. His brothers are Tony and Harry James, and he's got form.
Have you traced him?
Not yet. We're going round to his flat. His brothers have got the keys.
Right. Good.
Mike hurries off. Travis marches into the incident room.
Joan, where's the cop?
Still interviewing Andrew Lesser with Broly.
What about Mike?
Just left to check on a possible lead from the diary. Why?
I've got one too. Jeannie. She was at Amanda's house the night she was killed. She lied.
Joan looks shocked.
Sorry.
Travis walks out as Joan goes to answer the phone.
Sorry, Joan.
He's not answering his mobile and I've left him three messages.
I don't know where the soft bugger is. He couldn't have hurt, could he?
Well, I hope not, bruv. I mean, I found the poor little thing. I mean, I know that he's soft on her. I mean, how many times did I warn him? It seems like I've spent my whole life just looking out for him.
It was right you bringing him into the company. Maybe he's got nothing to do with all this. But you can't keep making excuses for him, Harry. It's time he answered for himself.
Well, we've both got some answering to do, haven't we, bruv? I mean, we've both lied. I knew there was something iffy when I found his motor in the lockup. I've got her keys in my pocket. Hey, look, they're here.
Harry and Tony are beside their limo outside flats. Mike and Barbara pull up and get out.
You should have told us about your brother, Mr. James.
They enter the stairwell of the flats.
Look, this has all been a big misunderstanding. I mean, there's no way my brother Lester would have done a thing like this. I mean, he's a good kid. He's been in a little bit of trouble before, but that's Larry Drunks picking a fight with him because they know who he was. Last assault charge against him was dropped.
Now, you wait here. We don't need both of you inside.
Harry leads Barbara and Mike in. The neat apartment has a lot of trophies.
He liked his karate, didn't he?
A poster with Lester in karate kit.
Barbara! Take a look at this.
He's 7th Dan black belt. He does a bit of exhibition work. I mean, what does that prove anything?
We need to take this in.
Let's go, Mr. James.
In the poster, which is for the Karate Championship 2010, Lester is holding a commando knife. Travis, a svelte redhead who wears a dark hooded jacket over her white blouse and black pencil skirt, approaches Jeannie's basement flat. Travis slows her pace and scans about the scruffy exterior, where bin bags are piled near dustbins. Inside the flat, Jeannie's in her messy bedroom packing. She stops when she hears a noise. Jeannie moves towards a closed curtain. Outside, Travis pulls Felicity's sparkly purple handbag out of a bin bag. She reaches inside the handbag and takes out a pink smartphone. In her room, Jeannie wears a dark expression as she considers. Outside, Travis has her back to the front door as she makes a call.
Joan, it's me. I need backup immediately. I'm at the basement flat. I found Felicity's bag and Amanda's phone.
Jeannie decks Travis with a baseball bat, beats her repeatedly, then kicks her a few times. Jeannie stomps back towards the flat, leaving Travis sprawled on her face, groaning. Paul rushes out into the police station car park and meets Barbara.
Come with me. Travis has called for backup in Jeannie Bales.
They hurriedly get into a car. Jeannie leaves the flat with a little wheelie suitcase which she drags over Travis. In an interview room...
There's only one thing that we've not told you the truth about. And that's because we both believe that Lester couldn't have had anything to do with this murder.
So what did you lie about?
Just the last time we saw him.
It was the day before, wasn't it? She was upset about some nightmare she'd had. We knew he shouldn't have been there.
Oi, Lester, wait up. What are you doing here?
Nothing. Amanda had a little job for me.
How many times me and Tony told you about this? You've got to stop this, bruv. It's not company work and get yourself invoices. She's not paying your wages. You got to sort yourself out, stop being a mug.
I ain't being a mug, but All right.
Your brother has a file of arrest for assault on drug dealing.
No way that charge was dropped to possession.
Yeah, but he's still dealing, though, isn't he? We know that Amanda scored a lot of drugs for her friends. Lester was her supplier.
He wouldn't do that. He valued his job too much.
We have a man fitting your brother's description in the Mews, dealing drugs on the night of Amanda's murder.
Well, I don't believe that.
I don't give a fuck whether you believe it or not. Your brother's now the prime suspect in the murder of Amanda Delaney. Any more lies, right? Any more forgotten shit, you'll both be charged with perverting the course of justice.
He worshipped the ground she walked on, and she was a promiscuous little slut.
Here. Tony. Look at that.
Mortuary photos.
Hey? This is what was done to her.
Mike checks his mobile. Langton looks sharply from one brother to the other.
Well?
Harry reluctantly gets keys out of his pocket.
Amanda's keys.
What?
Go.
Not now.
It's Travis. Be serious.
Get back in! St. George's Hospital, now! Get the blues off!
Lester watches Langton speed off, then heads towards the police station. Barbara and Paul in their car.
Is that her?
She's there. There she is.
Paul screeches to a halt. Jeannie is on an escalator heading down into a tube station. Paul rushes after her.
Wait here, Barbara. Excuse me.
Paul leaves Barbara at the top of the escalator, then pushes past a woman as he descends. Jeannie reaches the platform where the safety doors are closed. Paul and Jeannie see each other, and she runs for it. He chases her up an escalator.
Jeannie! Stop running! Wait there! Excuse me! Barbara!
Shit! Barbara's descending on an escalator as Paul runs up the other one after Jeannie. He rugby tackles Jeannie to the floor.
Get off me!
We've got Lester James in the reception.
Who brought him in?
He came in himself.
Langton's on his mobile as the patrol car drops him off.
He just walked into the station. Look, keep a hold of him. Wait here for me.
Oh, she's fine, she's fine. She bloody discharged herself.
I've just been to the hospital. Why the hell did you discharge yourself?
She's on her bed.
Yeah, Jeannie.
Yes, we did. Are you on painkillers? Do you need water?
She must have been at Amanda's the night that she was killed. The diary was written up to date.
Right. Do you want me to send out for some groceries? Have you got any food here?
Oh, I'm fine. It looks worse than it is. Honest.
He sits on the edge of her bed.
Look at me. Look at me. You're not to move from here. You hear me? You stay put.
She's wearing a thick, toweling dressing gown.
Do you want some soup? Have you got any soup? I mean, have you got anybody to look after you?
I'm not hungry. I've got strong painkillers if I need them.
You nearly give me bloody heart failure. You could have got yourself killed. Do you want me to get Joan to come over?
You shouldn't have bothered coming. Just go back to the station.
Oh, shouldn't have bothered coming. I came because I care. You idiot.
Their eyes lock. There's a graze on Travis's cheek.
See myself up. You said the diary was written up to date. I'll call you.
He points at her.
Stay put.
She waits until he's gone. Moving very stiffly, she gets her legs over the edge of the bed and sits for a moment. She slowly undoes the belt on her gown. Sitting with her back turned, she slips the gown off her shoulders with difficulty. Her back is covered in bruises.
How come you had Amanda Delaney's house keys?
The night before it happened, she heard a woman screaming. She wanted me to check the Mews, but my brother told me to stop being a mug, so I never went.
Okay. So let's go to you supplying Miss Delaney with drugs. Cocaine. Crack cocaine, amphetamine, speed, ecstasy.
Yeah, I knew she took drugs, but not from me. Look, I don't understand where this is going. I came in here of my own free will because I was told you wanted to talk to me.
We have a witness who saw you supplying Miss Delaney with some gear.
Lester snorts. A solicitor's with him. A flashback.
Just sit down for a minute. Do you want a coffee or something?
Helen's called on Amanda, who goes to Lester.
400, that's more than last time. And can you get me some of that other gear? I've got night shoots for a week and I can't sleep.
I was always just her driver.
Just a driver who takes regular trips to Amsterdam?
Yeah, I go for karate shows and stuff like that. Not drugs.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the karate. We found a poster of you holding a weapon.
And Mr. James has explained that he performs self-defense exhibitions. That knife was for a specific event.
Where is it now?
Lester looks up briefly.
That was over a year ago. It wasn't even mine.
Jeannie Bale locked up?
Yep, she's not going anywhere.
And you're still holding Lester James?
Yeah.
Right, get me the last pages of the diary.
In the incident room.
Yeah, well, you should have waited at the top.
Yeah, well, I said I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you pretty well should be, Barbara. It's just not on. Could give myself a ready hernia.
How is she?
She's going to be okay. Go on to a florist, send her some flowers. But, listen up, everybody. Travis says that Amanda was writing up her diary until the night of her murder, which means Jeannie Bale lied about how long she'd had it. She must have got it that night. So, how come none of you picked up on this? Eh?
He scans about them.
Joan?
I was concentrating on a section about a tattoo. It's the first mention I had of Lester James.
Tattoo?
She wrote that his tattoo doesn't even resemble me, spelt with a Z.
Right. Who's dealing with Amanda's phone?
Me.
Paul.
Paul follows Langton out.
I've told Langton, Barbara. I'm not taking the blame.
Well, I just got a bit confused as to where I should be waiting.
Not about that. You gossiping about the Fitzpatrick case.
Oh, my God. Love me directing traffic.
The mood he's in, I wouldn't be surprised.
What you got?
Okay, this is the footage from the phone.
Amanda on her bed with Sean and Scott.
Sean, give it to me.
We know this, Paul. You wasted time.
Wait, let me fast forward.
Langton, Mike and Paul look up when Travis walks stiffly into the room and joins them.
What the hell are you doing here?
I've got it. This is the night.
Just to stop you being so angry. Because you know I love you really. Don't look at me like that. What on earth were you thinking? A tattoo? It doesn't even look like me, you idiot. Stupid dumb fucker.
A man's there.
What, you want to screw me? You know my bunny loves you. What are you doing?
The screen goes haywire, then Jeannie appears on screen.
Right. Get Jeannie Bale up here first. Make sure she has a solicitor. I want you with me, Mike.
He and Mike head out. Travis stares after them and fumes. Mike and Langton enter an interview room where Jeannie's sitting nervously.
Don't let this bail. Start telling us the truth. How did your friend end up in the river?
Jeannie lowers her eyes. A flashback.
I've got the money and I've got a mobile.
Mm-hmm. I've got the diary. Good, so we've pulled a fast draw. Right, give me a drink.
Jeannie swigs from a bottle.
Right. We split the cash in two, and we hold on to the diary until the press and the crap has died down, and then we go to the publishers and we make a deal.
You should have given her father the diary, Jeannie.
Listen to me. I deserve every penny I can get out of this. Everything she had should have been mine. Every film, every part should have been mine. It's even in the fucking diary what she did to me.
How did you get it?
I told you, Lester gave it to me.
No, I don't mean that. I got crazy. Carrying it around because she loved it more than anything else. Is that why? Do you know another thing? You'd have never got the pie of rock, baby, anyway. I've had to listen to you banging on and on about it, but the truth was, you was never even in the running.
Felicity swigs from the bottle.
It's my turn now, Jeannie. Right, you keep the diary, and you sell it to the publishers because I'm not splitting the £5,000.
They're standing by railings beneath a bridge over the river. Jeannie glowers.
Give me that.
Give it?
No, I won't.
I can't go to the police.
And I'll tell them about you and Lester. I'll tell them!
Give it to me!
In the struggle, Felicity falls backwards over the railings.
Ah! It was an accident and I couldn't do anything about it because she disappeared so fast and I can't swim.
Felicity's body lies on the ground below. The tide is out. In the present, Jeannie glances furtively at the cops.
Tell us about the diary.
Amanda left it in the flat after she had that meeting with the publisher bloke. She even made me and Dan leave her for privacy. Felicity was meant to come with us, but she passed out. And she overheard him talking about how much money it was worth, so Felicity and I read it, but not all of it, because the next day, Amanda sent her driver to get it.
In the basement flat...
Give it up, Janie. I mean it. Listen, if you've got it, then please just give it to me. She's really upset and I don't have to get aggressive with you.
Here, I've got it. Just leave us alone. You are such an arsehole. And you know what, Lester? You're going to be an even bigger arsehole because if she publishes that, you feature in it and she's written so much shit about you, it'll make you puke if you read it.
Lester looks solemn, then smiles.
No, I don't believe you. She wouldn't do that.
She's telling the truth, Lester. I mean, she jokes about your dick all the way through. She says you can't get it up.
He looks wounded.
Look at his face. You haven't even read that, have you?
He took it back to her. That's the truth.
It isn't the whole truth, though, is it? It was in your bag when we picked you up, so he must have stolen it back again. When did you do that?
On the night Amanda died. Lester came round with some drugs for Dan, but he was out with Felicity. He still didn't believe what Amanda had written about him. Oh, God, he's such an idiot. I mean, I even knew about the Dumbo's tattoo. Anyway, to prove what I was telling him, we went to hers because she'd been freaking about hearing some woman screaming. And that's it. I nicked the diary. He panicked because we could hear her car driving up, because she's not going to be there, right? So I scarped over the roof, because if she knew that I was there, she would have gone ape shit.
Jeannie flicks away a strand of hair.
What else did you take?
Oh, what, you mean the bunny rabbit? I just did that out of perverseness. I threw it in the river. I didn't even want it.
Mike shows Amanda's phone in an evidence bag.
What about this?
Yeah, I took that. I couldn't use it. I didn't know the password, but I was looking for that, mate.
Well, we managed to unlock it. And guess what? You were caught on video, Jeannie. You were there. You killed her, didn't you?
Well, she took everything from me. Whatever part she had, it should have been mine. All that money should have been mine. She stole my chance.
Langton watches her intently.
I would have been a star. But for her. But I didn't kill her. I didn't do that. I didn't do that! I want my lawyer, because I'm not staying in this scuzzy little cell that you've got for me, because I know my right!
She sees Lester.
It's all your fault. It's all your fault! Why I'm being treated like an animal!
Travis is sitting at her desk, staring ahead. Mike walks over to her.
Langton doesn't think you should take the Lester James interview.
They both stare ahead.
Well, I think differently. Oh, give me a break, Mike. You see what she did to me?
You should go home.
Please.
She winces and stands.
I'm going to get in so much shit for going to that basement flat by myself. I mean, I did tell you to get a search warrant earlier.
Oh, you are something else, Anna.
Please, Mike.
He holds her gaze as he considers.
I'll go and sort out the charges against Jeannie Bale.
Travis enters an interview room. Langton's seated at the table and has his back to her. Lester and his solicitor are opposite Langton. Langton becomes aware of her as he sorts files. She sits beside him.
Where's Mike?
He's been held up with Jeannie's solicitor, sorting out the charges.
Langton takes a photo of dead Amanda from a plastic folder.
Right, let's get down to this. What did you do after you did this to her?
I don't know what you're talking about. I was just her driver.
Let me read this to you. This is from Amanda Delaney's diary. LJ drove me to the clinic. It was done. I felt really sick, but he was terrific and carried me back to the car and drove me home.
Was it your child?
No. I'm just a driver.
Oh, come on, Lester, you were more than that. She used you. Do this, do that. Occasional blowjob. You had the keys to her house. You looked out for her. Okay, she was frightened. She heard some woman scream. But you made her scream, didn't you?
No. It's not the way you think. I just wanted to get out. I was trapped with Jeannie in the bedroom and this woman downstairs. And then I went back up to get Jeannie out. That's... and she showed me the diary.
You're also a bit of a stalker.
Look, please, I'm begging you. Shush me.
Please, don't shush me.
Come
off me. Get off me. Get off me.
Get in the bath.
He pushes Jeannie out of the back door, then picks up Amanda's diary that Jeannie dropped. He reads it.
I couldn't understand why she'd written those things about me.
In the present.
The knife, Lester. Did you take it with you?
Lester stands up. He unbuckles his broad leather belt. He pulls the buckle off to reveal it's a knife and lays it on the table. Langton pulls the knife towards him with an end of his pen.
Take off your shirt, please.
I think that's enough. My client...
No, it isn't.
Lester stares down fixedly as he removes his black shirt.
Turn around.
Lester obeys and turns slowly to reveal a large tattoo of Amanda's face on his back. Travis glances at Langton, then lowers her eyes.
Put your shirt back on.
Lester, a sinewy man, puts his shirt back on.
Tell us what happened.
A flashback to Amanda dead on her bed.
First time I ever saw her naked was that night. I took off her clothes and I put on a shift nightdress. It was the first time I'd ever held her body. She was like a fragile doll. So thin. Her ribs stuck out, her hip bones. Her legs were like a skinny child's.
He gently brushes her hair.
First stab wound killed her. There was hardly any blood. I was just so angry. I kept on doing it, even though I knew she was dead.
Lester stares at Langton sadly. In the incident room, the team drink champagne.
Get a tattoo of Amanda on his back. You'd only see it if he looked backwards in the mirror.
Barbara, I've got another course for you to go on, a DVI course.
Oh, DVI, what's that?
Disaster victim identification. Lots of mortuary work for you to get your teeth into. Oh, Travis, gone on home then?
Yeah. Painkillers were wearing off. Girl, she's been giving me a really hard time about not getting a search warrant sooner for Jeannie Bell's flat, and I just want to say, it was an oversight. It was down to me.
Yeah, well, you want to be careful about oversights, Mike. They can come back to haunt you.
Langton nicks a bottle of champagne as he leaves.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. Well done, love.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Let's go.
At Travis's, Langton pours champagne.
No, not for me.
Right. Not with painkillers. By the way, I found out who was responsible for the Fitzpatrick case. Chinese Whispers. Joan mentioned it to Barbara, who was doing a variety of courses, who mentioned it to someone else, and that someone else told somebody, and etc., etc. Christ, he's first off the mark. Deputy Commissioner Waters wants a press release ASAP.
You know, if Mike had done what I had asked him from the start and got a warrant for that basement flat, we'd have got a result a lot sooner and wouldn't have wasted
all... Don't, Anna. Leave it.
He was the DCI.
Oh, I know that. And by rights, he should have been in the interrogation of Lester James, not you. I'm surprised that he let you take his seat. You shouldn't have been in that interview room, Anna. You weren't fit, and I told you to stay at home. Now, I wasn't going to discuss this tonight, but about your promotion...
Yeah. I'm about to take some time off now and prepare for it.
Well, that might be a waste of time because I'm not prepared to sign your papers.
What?
I don't think you're ready. It's a big jump to get promoted to DCI.
She stares open-mouthed.
Well, for your information, sir, I don't need your signature. It's already been rubber-stamped by Commander Power.
His eyes narrow.
Well, really, Commander Power's obviously racing up that accelerated escalator, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him running into the Olympic Stadium with a flaming torch. Just one more thing. There's a team of officers, Anna.
I know.
And you still haven't learnt to be part of them. And until you do, I think it would be wise if you were to back off from this accelerated promotion lark. Right, this is just coming from a man who has many more years of experience than both Sam Power and you put together.
Well, I suppose you'll be up for commander now.
Maybe. And don't take all this personally, Anna.
How do you expect me to take it? I mean, I work day and night and every single bloody weekend, so I do take it personally. I mean, it's all I've got.
Look, Jeannie Bale was crazy enough to try to kill you. Now, I understand you sussed out about the diary, but you just couldn't resist going over there on your own.
Like that. There wasn't anybody available. I mean, I was calling for backup while she hit me.
No, the point is, you could have been killed.
All right. All right. Maybe you're right. I mean, I don't want you to be, but maybe you are. I'm not ready. But I need to know, if I don't go up for it this time, is it going to affect my chances in the future?
He shakes his head.
I'll do my best to make sure it doesn't affect you.
She returns his gentle look with the shadow of a smile. He moves close.
The things you think are precious when you're young aren't when you're older. Now, what is important? Get yourself a life outside of the Met. Otherwise, it'll eat you up. And always know when it's time to go home before you say something or do something that you might regret.
He places a lingering kiss on her cheek.
Good night.
Langton takes his hands from her shoulders and walks out briskly. Travis stares down forlornly, then slowly raises her head.
Hello?
Good evening, Travis.
Oh, Deputy Commissioner.
I've heard you were injured.
No, I got a little bit of a pace stain, but it was nothing serious. Although we had the diary, I realised that it had to have been in the victim's possession the night that she was murdered.
Was this evidence overlooked? A repeat of the Fitzpatrick situation?
Well, no. There can't be any comparison with the Fitzpatrick case, sir. I feel that maybe I shouldn't have spoken to you about my reservations with that case.
I'd already been told by another officer.
Yes, I know, but it was an off-the-record discussion, sir, and I would hate for it to have any effect on Chief Superintendent Langton's promotion. I have the utmost respect for him, and in many ways I was to blame.
I'm sure it won't. You've done very well. I get some rest.
Thank you. Good night.
Bathed in soft light, Travis stares ahead pensively. Her image fades to black. ITFC audio description.